Welcome to the First Intuition podcast. On this episode, we talk resilience, a key life skill and something that you need to develop within your studies and your career. As always, we recorded the session in front of a live Zoom audience. If you'd like to join a future session, look for the link in the show notes. Hello and good evening. Welcome to another episode of our First Intuition podcast. My name is Ben Bullman and I am joined again this evening by my good friend and colleague, David Malthouse. Good evening, Dave.
Evening, Ben. How are you this week?
Another good week. I say this every week. I do occasionally have bad weeks, but this week's been another good week. It's a busy week. My ears in marking for some of our ICAW students doing their final case study endpoint assessment. And so that's quite an in-depth marking exercise, which I really enjoy, but it is quite time-consuming and time-sapping. Also, I'm going out for lunch tomorrow with a client and a colleague, which I'm really, really looking forward to. But it's got me thinking just about scheduling in my diary. I think we've all potentially got used to scheduling Zoom meetings or Microsoft Teams meetings where you can literally do them back to back to back. I've got to factor in somehow getting from my house to where I'm meeting for lunch in Cambridge and back again for meetings that I've arranged at either end of the day. So logistical planning is coming back into my schedule, Dave. How are you?
Not too bad. I wasn't here last Wednesday. It's been a fortnight since I've been here. So I was just kind of casting my mind back and thinking, what have I been up to? Well, the reason I wasn't here last Wednesday was... it was my son's 16th birthday, and I took him out for the day to go whitewater rafting at Lee Valley Aquatic Centre. So if anyone watched the Olympics when they were here back in 2012, it's where all the Olympic kayaking and canoeing took place. And we spent about an hour and a half doing whitewater rafting there. And I think the thing he enjoyed most is when I fell out. Which I think I can probably kind of see. But if anyone has been there, I think they'll agree it is absolutely phenomenal. If you are based anywhere close to Harlow, first of all, I feel a little sorry for you. But on the other hand, you have got Lee Valley Aquatic Centre within about 10 miles or so. And it is an absolutely brilliant day out. So really, really good fun. We then continued birthday celebrations over the weekend. We had some kind of family that came to visit. And on Sunday, he and I went out and did an obstacle course race through kind of like knee-deep mud, doing kind of like big slides into lakes, doing some swimming, climbing over walls, going under nets, carrying stuff loads of places, just quite a brutal obstacle course race, which again, he was delighted because he absolutely thrashed me. I did say I would be massively disappointed if a young lad who's 16, who has got all the vigor of youth, was unable to beat me. But he still doesn't accept that as being any kind of valid excuse. But he did look at his time afterwards, and in his age group, he finished sixth overall. And he then looked online and said, well, if I can get sixth overall in this race, if I could do something similar in the equivalent race just into next year, he might be able to qualify for the World Championships. So I think that's his next target, is to see if he can be he can meet the qualifying target for the obstacle course World Championships for his age group. So that's been really, really fun. And The real downer that's hit us this week is that my daughter's been sent from home. She's got symptoms of COVID. We're waiting for test results to come in. But until then, there's five of us that have to isolate in the house. And it's been day one. And I'm already hoping and praying that test comes back negative so they can all go to school tomorrow. It's been quite a tough day having everyone around.
This is something that I'm hearing a lot. And I think we're seeing lots of cases, particularly in Cambridge, where I'm based, that the case numbers are going back up. If you are having to self-isolate, then I feel for you. I would say there is a great back catalogue of the FI podcast, though. So in 10 days of isolation lockdown, you could get through every single episode if you kind of structured your day that you had one with breakfast, one over lunchtime, maybe one early afternoon and an evening podcast to drift off to sleep over.
Well, as one of our correspondents has commented to us in the past, they enjoy listening to us while they're in the bath. And what better way is there really to enjoy the FI podcast than in the bath? I know a lot of people do enjoy it when they're out being active, running, walking. I know that there is a chap that enjoys it when he's driving his car to work, downloads it on the day that it comes out. So, yeah, I think there are plenty of ways people can enjoy it, but you're absolutely right. In isolation, what better way than to break down 10 days of solitude than to listen to our podcast?
So let's move on and talk about our topic and theme for this evening, and I can then introduce our guest. So we've picked the topic of resilience, something that we've talked around in previous episodes because it's quite integral to a lot of things we do in training, in studying, in sitting exams, in building and developing a career. But we thought we would cover it as a specific topic this evening and invite along our good friend and colleague, Ollie McAfee. So I'm going to introduce Ollie, who is our apprenticeship manager. Ollie, good evening and welcome to the FI Student Forum podcast.
Evening. Thank you very much for having me, finally. Good evening, everyone. Hopefully you can hear me. That's the first and most important thing, I'm sure. Delighted to be here. Thank you very much for having me.
So we always, when we get a new guest and their first time on the podcast, ask them to give a bit of their backstory, their history. Regular listeners will know they've talked about this as your Marvel superhero backstory. So in the first few moments of your Marvel film, they always tell us how you got your superpowers. How did Ollie McAfee get to the heights that he's at today?
I think it all started with moving to Scarborough as a 12-year-old. I was a man in my head then, but I realised I was very much a boy. But we moved to Scarborough from Woking in Surrey, which, if anyone knows it, is like 20 minutes from London and is a lovely place to live for a young man. But moving to Scarborough is not the greatest idea for a young man. Obviously, I love it now. In hindsight, you can see it back. But I think it's that kind of start point, and then you just build up. You know, I hated school, and I've never been scared to say things like that. But I've hated school. If anyone's met me in real life, you will know I am not a small man, shall we say. I'm quite big in every which way. And growing up, that is hard. So great, you know, the topic today really fits quite nicely with me in some ways. But being big in a new place, talking like a southerner in Yorkshire, that's kind of how it all started. And I just continually rolled with everything to just go through and build up. All of kind of my activity was all based on this idea of, well, I might not fit in here, so I'm going to go up to the next thing. I remember going to A-levels and finally twigging that you've actually got to do some study. Otherwise, you're literally going to work in a fish and chip shop in Scarborough. That was my nightmare, smelling a fish, because I'm allergic to fish as well, if anyone doesn't know that. So that idea of working in a fish and chip shop for my whole life was just the scariest thing. So I twigged that I had to go to school. Real point there, I actually had to go to school, and then went and did A-levels, and I just did enough to get out of Scarborough and go to Northampton. And I picked the greatest time to go to Northampton. It was 2006 I went to uni, so just about to hit a nice recession. So when I was leaving 2009, everywhere is decimated, let's be honest, in some cases. You know, the industries across the board were really, really struggling. And I was one of two individuals from my graduating class who had offers of employment before finishing, just because there was no way I was going home. No chance at all. I was never going to move back up north. And after that, I found my niche in terms of supporting people and being that training. I'm not going to ever say inspiring, but I do sometimes motivate people every now and again. And I just got chucked in front of a classroom with about a 21-year-old and a group of 18-year-olds, and they were supposed to listen to me. So I was like, oh my God, this is going to be fun. I was doing personal and social development. If anyone remembers that, that was me telling people, you've got to get up in the morning, you've got to get dressed, you've got to go. And these guys were looking at me like, you don't know what you're talking about. I was like, well, actually, let's talk about this. And I just kept going through the ranks, up and up and up. Suddenly people started seeing that, oh, you can mentor apprentices, students, all of this stuff. Why don't you try managing people? And you make endless mistakes at that point. You do loads of great stuff where you you say things and you think, why did I say that? And then you grow and learn. And I was lucky enough to start an apprenticeship business for a recruitment company from scratch, nothing at all in terms of operations, infrastructure, contracts. You know, these things were absolutely alien to this company. Set that up and just sort of exploded from there, went to an engineering company and really just pushed on in terms of engineering. And then I had my little boy and I basically just didn't want to be there anymore for a few weeks. And I sat there going, whoa. I just had this awful time with the little one, you know, really hard. Anyone who's ever got a kid, you know how hard it is at the first stage, especially for me when I can't look after myself, let alone someone else. And then I just sat there in my desk, in my little office, and I went, this isn't right. And I then started looking for that opportunity of a company that valued people and ideas and inspiration. And suddenly Stuart popped up in an interview in front of me and was telling me all about this amazing place called FI. And Kelly, ironically, was also there telling me how amazing it all was. And I was like, no, this is a dream. And I got here and it was actually reality. So that's kind of how I got to FI in a roundabout way.
Fantastic. So your current role is apprenticeship manager. That sees you managing our apprenticeship team, which is an ever-growing team, but also doing some of the face-to-face and online delivery for the apprentices. And I guess that's where our thought for resilience came from, because I know it's a topic you've spoken before about at our Impact Skills program days.
Yeah, I keep getting asked for the resilience part. I keep putting it into little sections and then people say, well, actually, you haven't covered enough of that. So that's why we kind of focused on resilience, because a couple of the apprentices, I think I've seen a couple of names on the list today who have actually been on those calls and actually asked for resilience. You know, how do you do it? How do you keep getting up every day? And I've been putting it off for a little while, but I thought it was a great opportunity tonight, especially with the England game later on. We might hopefully not need to be resilient about anything, but you never know.
Well, fantastic. It's really great to have you on. I'm going to start with Dave, though. Dave, what does resilience mean to you?
When I think of resilience, it's dealing with pressure. And I think that if you want any degree of success in doing anything, there is pressure. There's always going to be pressure to do things, pressure to achieve certain things. And for me, resilience is being able to deal with that pressure when things aren't going your way. And we all have to do it. If you want a successful career, you have to do it. But if you want successful relationships, you have to have a degree of resilience. If you want to be successful in any kind of sport that you take, you have to have that degree of resilience as well. And I think that there's kind of certain elements of pressure where I think some people will just run away from it and say, I don't like this pressure, so I'm going to run away from it. And I think resilience is not running away from it. It's taking it head on, facing it head on, and addressing it and then getting through it.
100%, I agree. I think it's something I would call active management, actually taking some responsibility. And it brings me to my first inspirational quote I'm going to roll out tonight. We've picked a couple. And the first one is from our good friend, regular listener and attendee on the podcast, and our chief executive at FI, Gareth John, who says, don't let things be done to you, take some responsibility. If you just sit there and let things happen to you, you will lose control. You will feel like you are being pressured into things. And it is hard, but you need to step up and say, I can change this by taking some active steps towards it. So our first quote this evening from Gareth John. We've got another quote from a famous Gareth coming up later on this evening. But Ollie, what do you feel about taking those steps to bring some control back, to be a bit more proactive in your life?
Yeah, and I think that's a really, really interesting point, because it's about taking control. And I think we always think of taking control, we've got to do it ourselves. I use the mantra, just do it. We might know it from a well-known brand. I wish I had come up with it. But that just do it idea, that doesn't mean we have to fix everything ourselves. Sometimes you have to ask for help, and it comes through everything we do under the apprenticeships as well. You know, communication is kind of the first and foremost in all aspects of life, really. And for me, it's that, yes, you've got to fix it. You've got to react quickly. You've got to be proactive and don't just sit there and watch it happening. But also, if you're there, it doesn't mean you have to go and fix that. You can ask for help. And I think that's something that, as a mantra, is becoming more and more important across the board, particularly this time as well, where it's so hard to pick up the phone sometimes to have a conversation with people. If you're struggling, you've made a mistake, you know, say it. Now, I've got great people at FI who, if I make a mistake, I did one the other day to Ben, actually, I made a mistake. And I was like, oops, sorry. And it's that process of actually, we can sort it very, very quickly. But had I have sat there and gone, not going to mention it, he's picked it up, I'm just going to ignore it, that makes it worse. So actually being able to pick up and ask that communication, ask for support is really, really important.
I think that the relief of sharing a problem with someone else is really not to be underestimated. It's a very old cliche, a problem shared is a problem halved. But actually, as someone that manages other people, I would much rather my team have an open, honest relationship with me and come to me with problems, with issues that we can then plan and deal with together. And I suppose this is where resilience kicks in with regards to managing the negatives in our life. Dave, what's your thoughts on dealing with defeat, problems, things that haven't gone well?
We were talking about this beforehand, and I mentioned that I read a book recently, which was co-authored by Russell Wilson, who's a quarterback in the NFL, plays for the Seattle Seahawks. He's a guy he's not your prototypical quarterback. He's not tall, you know, he's not got a massive arm and could throw the ball, you know, incredible distances, but he is one of the best American football quarterbacks out there, and he's overcome all those things. So because of that, I'm really interested in hearing his story. And one of the things he talks about is he tries to focus on what he calls neutral thinking, not negative thinking. And the idea behind neutral thinking is that he feels that positive thinking, he's not convinced whether it works or not, but he is sure as hell that negative thinking will have a negative impact on performance. So if something negative happens to him, he tries to look at it and just say, okay, that has happened, but that's not going to define what happens to me in the future. That's not going to define what happens to me next time. So we get, you know, the Seahawks get absolutely destroyed. He gets sacked 12 times, doesn't complete a pass all game. At the end of the game, he doesn't sit there and dwell on what went wrong and think really negatively about his performance. He puts it in a box, metaphorically, says, that happened to me. I know that is not me. I know that is not what I'm capable of. I'm just going to forget about it, and I'm going to take next Sunday, you know, as if it hadn't happened at all. And I think that's something that I think I take a lot from, because I do have a tendency to kind of dwell on things that go wrong. But if you can say, right, okay, that went wrong, I understand why it went wrong, it's not going to happen again, I'm going to forget about it and not let it influence what happens to me in the future. And you know, that's how I would try and deal with those kind of things that go wrong. I think you have to accept them, you have to take responsibility for them, but don't let them define what you do in the future.
And that fits very nicely with my second inspirational quote for this evening, from our second inspirational Gareth. So we've heard a thought from Gareth John, our inspirational leader at FI, but someone that is equally, if not more so, inspirational in the current context of England playing this evening in the semi-finals of the European Championships is the England football coach, Gareth Southgate. Really, really great speaker, Gareth, and he's come out and done lots of good speaking in the last couple of weeks specifically. But one of his big messages is not dwelling on those defeats. It's that kind of mindset of the past has happened, can't do anything about that. And sorry to get all sporty for people that are not interested in sport. Many of you know me and Dave love sport from previous episodes of the podcast. But if you look back in Gareth's history, he very famously missed a penalty in a semi-final shootout, and now he's taking the team back. You can imagine all of the resilience that is showing. And you see it on players' faces if they've had a bad game or they've missed a penalty in a previous shootout. When they go and then score, it's a massive sense of, right, I've not dwelt on the past, I've learned from it. So our second quote this evening, Gareth Southgate, don't dwell on defeats, learn from them. Ollie, What further inspiration can you give to our live audience or the listeners of the podcast this evening on resilience?
I think whenever we're talking resilience, we have to use our background and our, you know, what's happened to us, our experiences, because those are the things that make us stronger. Again, I'm nicking other quotes from all over the place, but it is that idea of, you know, if you've grown up in a different circumstance or it's not ideal, or you're building yourself up as a new individual within your workplace, you've got to remember those background experiences. You've got to build your own self-esteem, self-confidence, and you've got to find what motivates you, because you can't expect everyone else to do it for you. And again, it kind of links back to your first quote, Gareth, with that proactive approach. But a manager is not going to come to you every single day and say, how are you feeling today? Would you like this? How can I motivate you? Here's your tea, here's your coffee. You're going to have to crack on and sort it out yourself with that support. But it's about building your self-confidence. If you are knocked back, or you're not feeling as you feel you should be, and you're not being able to pump out your chest, for want of another phrase, then you need to think about those small little wins that get you there. And I think resilience is about building that process so that when you do get knocked, you've got that confidence just to flick again and accept it, and then go again and go again and go again.
Let's talk about that persistence then, and the ability to pick yourself up and get going again. Dave, what sort of strategies have you used over the years to pick yourself up and get back on the horse, for a want of an analogy?
We talked best part of a year ago about when I failed my exams towards the end of my degree, and then I had to go back a year later and retake those exams. And I remember telling you at the time, it took me the best part of 6 months to actually kind of get to that acceptance that I needed to do something and I needed to change. So in terms of it being a quick fix, it's sometimes not a quick fix. Sometimes it is something that takes some time. But the things that happened over that 6 month period was a recognition that the things that I had done before weren't working for me, and I needed to make some kind of change. So what I do kind of with that experience for me is, or to use it for to help other people, is if someone comes to me and says, I failed an exam, I tend to know the reasons that you failed an exam. And ultimately, there's two reasons why you fail an exam. One of them is you didn't do enough work. And if you didn't do enough work, the quick fix to get through the exam is do more work. So I think you know if you fail an exam, whether it is the fact that you didn't do enough work. Okay, you didn't do work at evenings, weekends, whatever. Do more work, you'll pass the exam. The other reason people fail exams is because they do the wrong kind of work. And you know, we can say it all the time, Ben, we can say that the most effective way to prepare yourself for an exam is to rehearse being in that exam room by doing question practice, putting yourself under the timed pressure you get in the exam, and do that again and again and again and again. But if you spend all your time rewriting out chapter one, then chapter two, then chapter three really neatly, and then do it again and again and again, you get into the exam and it's a bit of a shock when the exam question isn't, can you rewrite chapter two for me, please, for 10 marks? And they actually ask you to apply it. So the thing that I spent a long time going over when you know, I failed an exam, I can condense into those two things. I know when I failed the exam, it was probably both of those things. I probably didn't do enough work, and I sure as hell did the wrong work. I didn't put myself under that exam pressure. I changed all of that in the next 6 months and passed that exam. So it's looking at what's happened, recognizing what went wrong, and then making changes moving forwards.
I think for me, there are a couple of things I can go to pick me up. Music, I find, is a big pickup. I've got a few tracks that I think we've talked about on previous episodes of the podcast, but still Curtis Mayfield, Move On Up, is my go-to track if I need to be lifted and just get my head up, my spirits up. Another one is a film, and we were really, really lucky to be joined by Eddie the Eagle Edwards, the former Team GB ski jumper. And if anyone has watched his film, it's available on Netflix. I think it's on other streaming services as well. You will know what an inspirational story and inspirational man he is. I'm going to put a link into the chat box, and I'll make sure the guys put this in the show notes for podcast listeners as well. We've got a blog on our website where we shared some of his thoughts. But if you've not seen the film, go and check it out, because that's another way that you can kind of just give yourself a bit of time to maybe reflect on things that have happened in your own life and think, right, what signs can I see as positives coming out of what has been a negative experience? Ollie, what's the best pick-me-up for you?
For me, I love a competition, and the best competition is with myself. So if I set myself a goal that is a little bit difficult to achieve over a week, but I hit it, that next week I just fly. And even if I don't hit it, I then realise why, and I've learned from that mistake and then cracked on again and again. So for me, I always need to be top of the charts. I've always got to be number one. And even if that's just in my own little league table of my own, man, your hair looks really nice today, that for me gets me going. You know, I have to win sometimes. And that's a terrible trait on some occasions. But if it's yourself and those positive messages you're giving yourself, then it works really nicely for me.
Fantastic.
No, I agree there, Ollie. I think competition is such a great way to get you up. You're right. It can be destructive, and I've seen that when I've talked to friends of mine that work in a sales environment, and it's a very competitive environment to win the next sale and get the biggest deal and get the biggest bonus, all those things, and that can be quite destructive. I think if you can harness that power, and you are competitive naturally, I think you're absolutely right. You can absolutely fly in terms of performance. And Ben, when you said when you mentioned the Eddie the Eagle movie. If you go onto my TV and look at my most searched for terms, okay, it will 100% be inspirational sports movies. It's one of my favourite genres of movie to watch. And it is the kind of thing that just really gets you, first of all, out of your seat, gets you a little bit emotional, but really feels, you know, your spirits lifted. So things like Remember the Titans and, all of those kind of things. I absolutely love an inspirational sports movie.
And it doesn't have to be sport. There are so many great sports films made, but it could be something as simple as the Greatest Showman. I don't know. That always puts a big uplifting part in my afternoon. If we're having a bad Sunday, it's a sort of thing that I like to watch with the family at home. And anything really that gets you going. I think I wouldn't be doing my role as a safeguarding officer justice if I didn't mention, I think we just need to be careful with picking ourselves up and saying, there are some ways that are clearly not advisable, resorting to drink or substance abuse or other things that are not good for your own health. So just please watch out for that. And I can see how actually you can get into the cycle of using those to artificially pick yourself up, but try and find some natural means to do that. I also think another great thing is finding a network, a group of people, or can just be one person that you genuinely trust to tell you the truth. Maybe not to just agree with you and say yes, or tell you the things that they think you want to hear, but someone that you genuinely can go to knowing they will tell you in no uncertain terms what they think you need to do or what they think you've done. For me, that's always been my dear old mum. I'm lucky enough to have had my mum throughout my life, and she's still there for me now to contact. She will tell you honestly exactly what she thinks of any decision that I've made in my life, and she's disagreed with some over the years. I'm lucky also to have a wife in that position now. And I know not everybody has got a family member close at hand for that, but hopefully you can find someone in your circle of friends that you trust for that. It's something, Ollie, I guess you and the team have to deal with at FI, giving learners some honest, constructive feedback, but knowing you can't dress things up from time to time. You have to be brutally honest with people.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. It's honesty is the best policy in life, I think, anyway, in general. And I think for us as the apprenticeship team, we are dealing with such a core part of someone's life. You know, doing your apprenticeship, doing your work, passing your exams is so crucial that sometimes we do have to say, well, you spent 1 hour revising for this hugely important exam, kind of the stuff Dave said earlier as well. What did you expect? And actually having that open conversation then brings that future dialogue together. If they, you can actually then say, well, actually, something might be going on and we can support with that area. We can put in touch with a tutor if you're struggling with things. But I always believe honesty is the best policy, because we can all help them. You know, as soon as you hide things, then you can't be helped in some ways. So it's something that I really enjoy when the team come to me and say, X so-and-so has said this, now we understand. And it's that moment, now we understand, we can help and support.
Yeah, and I think equally, offering that role to other people is very powerful, isn't it? And something that I know in the apprenticeship program, we now deal with one of the skills of being able to give that feedback, to give that honest view of what's happened, what's going on, and really help someone else maybe figure out a way to move forward. And I think the ability to receive and give feedback do go hand in hand. You're probably a better receiver of that once you know some strategies to give it to other people. Dave, what's your view on feedback? You must have been on both ends of that one over the years.
Yeah, I would say exactly the same as you, Ben. I'm fortunate enough to have a wife who is amazing at not just being my partner, but also being able to, you know, give me that feedback, to be able to be brutally honest about where I'm going wrong, which is most of the time I tend to be doing stuff that is wrong, and questioning decisions that I make, questioning why I do things. But the thing that I think is quite important with having that person that does it is just ensuring that the person that you're relying on for that kind of feedback, it actually understands where it is you're trying to go. Now, Ollie and his team understand exactly where an apprenticeship needs to lead to. You know, we're looking at people having an amazing career over the next 3-4 years while they're an apprentice with us, and we understand what the end point is there, and our job is to give you feedback to enable you to achieve that. As you know, we talked about the idea about moving forwards all the time, and sometimes I do get a little bit disappointed when I speak with people and they're being advised to give stuff up, or being advised that things are too hard. And I've actually had an experience where I spoke to a student at one of our open days that was kind of coming in for a bit of counseling, a bit of coaching, and they brought parent with them. And their parent was almost actively saying, look, you're finding this too hard, you should just give up. And it was kind of, the parent was almost, you know, the person giving that feedback saying, it's not worth it for you. That person did carry on, passed all their exams, is a qualified accountant, and is having an amazing career right now. But I think that they just picked the wrong person to have that mentor role. And I think it's just be careful. And, you know, there will be people that, and it's not that your parent, that parent didn't love them, didn't care for them, didn't want them to be happy. It's just they felt, I can't stand seeing you fail at something that you want so much. It's best to come away from it rather than saying, well, actually, what do we need to do to change it? So that would be my only thing, is just be very careful who your mentor is, and make sure that they understand where you want to go. Because you don't want someone that is giving you the feedback where the feedback is to go in a different direction when you don't want to be going in.
So we're recording tonight in front of a live Zoom audience, and we've got a couple of bits in the chat box. Ollie, while we've got you, I think that there's one here that would be right up your street to offer some insight to. Questioning around the balance of work and apprenticeship stuff and exams. Any tips, sorry to put you on the spot, for students that are just struggling to balance all of the things that are going on?
Yeah, the one is a very common question. It's a great question because it always raises it back up as a thought process, but planning, prioritization, and communication, it comes back to those three things for me every time. You know, you have to look at your schedule and work out what's going to be happening at that time. Talk, use the communication part, to your employer, to your skills coach, your tutor, whatever it is who's there to help you and advise you. And then prioritizing. If you're saying tonight you're going to watch the football, but you've got an exam tomorrow, and you haven't fully prepped, you probably need to prioritize your approach there. And I think for me, it's those three that I always come back to, because you can unpick what potentially is the issue there. But it's about having that balance as well across the board.
Dave, you've worked with numerous students and employers over the years. Have you got any tips for keeping those balls in the air? I've got work responsibilities, I've got study coming up, and I've got exams to sit, and I'm also trying to do it under the apprenticeship umbrella, which means I need to develop the skills and behaviours that go hand in hand with the technical learning.
I 100% agree with Ollie in terms of the approach that you'd look at. And firstly, in terms of planning and planning around the schedule that you have, I kind of have a three-step approach to planning. Number one is you plan for the things that you absolutely 100% have to do. So those would be the work tasks that you are paid to do. And if you don't do them, you let the business down. So make sure they're done. The second thing I plan for is the things that you love doing most of all. Because if you don't do the things you love, life isn't worth living. So if you want to play football once a week, get that in your schedule. You know, if you, I'm just going through every sport. If you are a member of a choir, make sure choir practice is there and performance time is in your planner. Because if you don't have things that are enjoyable, you will not stick to a plan. And then you put in, when is it that you're going to be able to study? When am I going to study in that time period? When am I going to put my development tasks in there? When am I going to do my portfolio work? And plan that around those two things. So for me, the most important things are the things you have to do to earn money. And then it is the things you love doing, and then plan around the other things. And don't plan around, oh, I want to watch that box set on Netflix, because that can wait. You know, you don't need to plan around having 3 hours every night to watch stuff on TV. It's plenty of time in the week if you actually spend time, as Ollie said, planning and prioritising. So that's how I would prioritise in that order.
Really, really great tips, guys. It's great just to talk about these things. And I'm feeling naturally uplifted coming away from this session from hearing both of you two just share some insights, share some chat. Ollie, we're going to be up against the end of the session shortly, but before we go, have you got any final thoughts that you just wanted to share with the listeners or the live students in front of us this evening?
Yeah, the main thing is I always come back to most of my sessions when I do stuff is, unless you try, and it's such an old adage, unless you try, you don't know. And that's all I ever say to people, give it a go. What's the worst that could happen? And I think for me, it's making sure you do that in everything we do in life. So that's probably quite a nice place for me to finish.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining our session this evening. I really, really hope we can get you back for a future episode of the podcast and hear more from Ollie. I'd be interested to hear why Scarborough was so bad back in the day. I had a trip there last summer and didn't think it was that bad.
Oh, yeah. Let's just say if it was past the watershed or whatever it's called, yeah, we could talk about Scarborough.
Fantastic. I'm going to go off. I've got a revision session to teach now before England play football again. Enjoy the football. If you're listening to this while we're recording it, England are still in the Euros and about to go and play their semi-final. So let's see, next week we could be European champions when we come back for our next episode of the podcast. Thank you to everybody that joined us live. Some lovely comments tonight in the chat box. And I'll leave Dave to do the final wrap up for this episode of the podcast.
Thanks very much, Ben. And thank you, Ollie, for being an amazing guest today. As Ben says, it could be someone is listening to this podcast in 3 years' time, and we're going into the finals of the Euros and England are still defending champions, going into the second final in a row or something like that. But everyone that's listening on the podcast, thank you very much for choosing to download it. If you can like, if you can share, if you can leave reviews, it does mean a lot to us. It also means that we get a lot more exposure on the podcast providers, because they like people that have left reviews and left comments and things like that. So if you could do that, that'd be amazing. If you have got ideas about future podcast episodes, please drop Ben or I a message, or just leave a message on a podcast episode. We always check the messages. So if there's any ideas that you've got, anything you'd like to hear about, anyone that you think would be an amazing guest that we should speak to. We have got some brilliant guests lined up. We've had some brilliant guests. We've had one tonight and we've had some over previous weeks. So we always like hearing new perspectives from new people. But until then, enjoy the football, if you are going to be watching it right now. I hope you did enjoy it, if you're listening on the pause. We will see you next week. Thank you very much for choosing to download, and stay safe.